This is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies, filling in for Terry Gross. My guest actress Mariska Hargitay has one of the most recognizable faces on television. She plays Detective Olivia Benson on the hit series Law & Order SVU. SVU stands for Special Victims Unit. In the series, Hargitay and her partners investigate sex crimes, many involving child abuse. Hargitay won a Golden Globe Award this year for Best Dramatic Actress for the role and was nominated for an Emmy. The new season of Law & Order SVU begins tonight on NBC. Let's listen to a scene from last season's Law & Order SVU. In this episode, Hargitay's character, Detective Olivia Benson, is on a statutory rape case stemming from a mother's discovery of her teenage daughter in bed with her 21-year-old boyfriend. Olivia empathizes with the teenage girl. In this scene, she's called into the office of her commander, Captain Cragen, played by Dan Florek.
Why is Denise Eldridge screaming to 1PP that you talked her daughter out of a rape kit?
Carrie didn't want it.
Now, that's exactly what Simone Bryce told Carrie's mother. It's funny how a children's rights attorney just happened to show up at the ER.
She was there because I called her.
You've got enough on your plate without taking on this kid as a cause.
Well, somebody's got to protect her from that lunatic mother of hers.
Why are you calling her that?
You saw how she humiliated Carrie in front of the entire squad. I don't like her.
Well, she has a right to be upset.
She's upset because she thinks Carrie's going to end up just like her, pregnant without a man.
Denise Eldridge believes a crime was committed against her daughter.
Denise Eldridge is a fruitcake.
Well, Mariska Hargitay, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you.
You played Detective Olivia Benson on Law & Order Special Victims Unit, where you investigate sex crimes, some of the most brutal stuff that cops ever have to encounter. How did you prepare for and research this role?
Well, you never can be completely prepared, I have learned. But when I was cast, I immediately flew to New York and basically tried to make friends with every NYPD officer that I could. I also went to the Special Victims Unit in Manhattan and also the Bronx, and I spent a lot of time with the detectives there, and then made a bunch of buddies in the cold case squad and sort of all over. So I had field trips every day for about 2 weeks before we actually started shooting. And then, you know, through my relationships, I made a couple of friends that I could call and ask questions. And, you know, you're continually studying. I mean, I feel like it's 7 years later and I'm still studying and still learning and still going to the, you know, shooting range and still trying to figure things out as we go along.
Your character, Detective Olivia Benson, is herself a child of rape. Is that in your head in some way as you create that character?
Always. And I think that's my, you know, sort of super vigilant, protective, you know, lioness aspect that I have to my character. I think I'm, you know, certainly at the beginning in the first few years, I, you know, sort of overzealously needing to protect and, you know, like a one-woman show to end crime in the world. You know, I think that all of us are called to our professions for different reasons and oftentimes emotional reasons. And clearly this is why Olivia Benson became a detective. And there's been shows over the years sort of dealing with why, you know, the positive and the negative, you know, the light side and the dark side.
This is, of course, very tough material. And as you say, drawn from real cases. Is it hard, emotionally hard on you?
Absolutely. I've learned more about sexual assault than I ever wanted to. It is very heavy to know that the stories that we are dealing with are true stories. And that's why I created this website, Mariska.com, because I started to get fan mail, and it was a very different kind of fan mail. It wasn't, you know, hi, you're my favorite actress. But it was a lot of women actually disclosing their story and sharing with me things that they'd never told anyone.
Do you respond directly to these letters, any of them?
I did at the beginning. Unfortunately, I can no longer respond due to the volume of the email that I get. I can't. However, I've teamed up with my various partners with Safe Horizon, and I became a rape crisis counselor. I work with the Rape Treatment Center in L.A. I work with a lot of different programs, and I actually just started my own nonprofit organizations. So I have these amazing partners, and so now I have support in answering these emails and trying to find people the help that they need.
We're speaking with Mariska Hargitay. She plays Detective Olivia Benson on the hit TV series Law & Order Special Victims Unit. A lot of our listeners probably don't know that your mother was the actress Jane Mansfield, who was killed tragically in a car accident in 1967 when you were three. Your dad was Mickey Hargitay, who was also an actor and a bodybuilder. Despite having two parents who were celebrities, I gather you really didn't grow up in a show business world. Is that right?
That's right. We, my dad sort of kept us away from all of that. I mean, I grow up in Los Angeles, California. So, you know, as far as away you can get in Los Angeles, it's sort of a showbiz town. But
right.
I have to say we lived a fairly normal existence, and we spent a lot of time in the summers traveling. And I had no idea that I wanted to go into this business till I was about 18.
I'm sure as you got older, you came to know of your mom through family memories. And it must have been strange because this was an era before there were VCRs, and you probably didn't see a lot of her screen work. But you, mm-hmm. as you got older, you must have encountered a lot of other people who had these, you know, strong images and impressions about this person that you kind of should have known best and had a very different feeling for.
Yeah, that's still going on, actually. It's such a gift because, especially now with the popularity of the show, I get lots of mail from people that knew her. Or actually, today I just received some gorgeous, gorgeous photos of her that I'd never seen before. And it's such a, you know, gift. I don't think these people really realize what a gift that they're giving me, you know, a piece of her life, especially when they're photos I haven't seen, or they'll write a memory, you know, just some one, two, three little sentences about how she touched their lives or how she was kind or funny or, you know, smart. It's a gift. So I'm still getting to know her all these years later. And, I you're right, though. I didn't really see her movies as a kid. And quite frankly, I wasn't interested in her screen work. I wanted to know her as a person and how she touched people and what she thought was funny. You know, I had sort of different goals with getting to know her.
You know, I'm a little older than you are, and I remember your mother as an actress. And I in preparing for this interview, I saw the movie Will Success Spoil Rock Hunter, in which you're
so great.
It's a wonderful movie. If anybody has it,
that's a great one.
It's worth getting because it has your mom in a lead role, and then your dad is also in it. Mickey Hargitay is in it,
and I love The Girl Can't Help It. That's the other one. It's great.
Right. Uh huh.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about it was that my memory of Jane Mansfield was, you know, ditzy, buxom, blonde. But when I saw this and saw the thing that she does, the sort of ooing and cooing with her voice, I was like, you know, that really is hard to do. It didn't look easy. It looked like a real acting achievement. And I gather you've come to regard her as something of a pre-feminist in a way, somebody who achieved an awful
Absolutely.
Lot.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, she, you know, she was a violinist and she had 160 IQ. She was an extremely, extremely intelligent woman. I have a Life magazine hanging in my house where it says, you know, Hollywood's smartest dumb blonde. You know, she found this niche and she went for it all the way. I think that was her sort of, you know, business plan. And when you talk about pre-feminist, five kids, was a movie star, had animals, husbands. I mean, she did it all. So she lived, you know, a very full life. Unfortunately, she didn't get to finish it. But I think that she was definitely a woman who lived before her time. She's my hero.
My guest is actress Mariska Hargitay. Here's a scene of her mom, Jane Mansfield, in that 1957 film, Will Success Spoil Rock Hunter? Tony Randall plays Rockwell Hunter, an advertising man trying to save his career by getting a sex symbol to endorse a brand of lipstick. Mansfield plays the movie star Rita Marlowe, who agrees to do the ads, provided Hunter pretends to be her new lover. In this scene, the two are in a car discussing their agreement.
We certainly appreciate what you're doing for the agency, Miss Marlowe.
Oh, forget it. Now all we have to do is to make you into a great lover.
Great what?
Well, at least you're going to have to look like a great lover, so I'll look good. Would I pick on someone who wasn't the greatest? No.
Oh, I wouldn't think so. Not with those measurements. But you did.
Don't sell yourself short, darling. You know your way around a kiss.
I'm sorry about that. I don't know why it happened. Everything was happening so fast. Something snapped.
Something snapped? You snapped, and you're not a bad snapper, Dolly. I know. I've probably been snapped at more than any girl in history, except that communist queen, you know.
Catherine the Great?
Yes, yes, her.
Well, she wasn't a communist. She was a Tsarina.
I don't care what was wrong with her.
That's Jane Mansfield and Tony Randall in the 1957 film Will Success Spoil Rock Hunter? We'll be back with Mariska Hargitay after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Mariska Hargitay. She plays Detective Olivia Benson in Law & Order SVU. The new season premieres tonight. When we left off, we were talking about her parents, bodybuilder Mickey Hargitay and actress and sex symbol Jane Mansfield. Mansfield was killed in a car crash in 1967. You got into acting, I gather, in high school and began to make a career for yourself, did a lot of television. I'm wondering, being a child of a sex symbol, did that affect the roles that you chose? Did you decide you wanted to take a different course?
I did in the beginning a little bit. That was a little over. I think that was the one part that was a little overwhelming of being the daughter of a sex symbol and having people constantly compare you. And I was not a fan of that at the beginning. And so I definitely, I think, sort of gravitated toward, you know, more tomboy roles. One of the first parts that I ever played was a girl named Jessie, who was an ex-con on a series called Downtown. And I grew up with two brothers, so I think part of it was that too, you know, and I was sort of an athlete and a jock, and I loved sports. And, you know, my dad also was like an Olympic speed skater, and my dad is an amazing athlete, and so were my brothers. And so I think that I sort of followed in those footsteps as opposed to using my feminine wiles, if you will.
Oh, yeah. Well, your dad was Mr. Universe, wasn't he?
Mr. Universe, Mr. America, and Mr. Olympia in 1955. He held three titles.
Yeah.
My dad's a bit of a superhero, I have to say.
Right. And yet, I read, do I have this right, that you were actually named Miss Beverly Hills in 1982?
You read it right. It's not something I talk about, but yep, you read it right.
Was that a beauty pageant?
It was.
And so you weren't so much a tomboy did you enter that as sort of a lark
goof?
A goof? Yeah.
Yes. I thought it was funny, and somebody said, "Come on, do it. It'll be fun." And then I did it, and I realized that wasn't the road for me.
All right. So you wanted to survive on your acting wiles and not be a babe. I read that you once lost a part because you refused to dye your hair blonde. Is that right?
Yes, I did. A couple, actually. You know, which, by the way, now I think that I would probably do things differently now, because if it was a great part, but when I was so young, I mean, there was a lot of comparing to my mother. You know, everything was about her, which I understand, because they didn't know me, nor had I proved myself. But I really just wanted to do it my way. And so what if it took me 20 years? I did it.
Well, you've done well. I mean, you were in a lot of different TV series, in the 80s and 90s, including Can't Hurry Love. That was in the 90s, right?
Yes.
And did well, but was canceled.
Yes.
And kind of a breakthrough was getting on ER. You were, Cynthia Hooper, who was Dr. Green's girlfriend, right? Very different role from who you are you were sort of needy and kind of weak and mousy.
Yeah. Well, it was my favorite. It was absolutely like my favorite role. I mean, when I got that part, I just felt it in my bones. Like, I had so much fun. I went, oh, this is what acting is. You get to, you know, put on this other hat. And I had worked on it so hard. And obviously the cast was stellar and amazing. And Anthony Edwards was so good. So we really got to play. And I had so much fun on that when I was done, I thought, where do I go from here? Where am I going to go? I mean, it was so great, because they also, ER is obviously a drama, but they let me sort of go into some crazy territory. I mean, I got a little bit psycho, and there were some comedy moments. I mean, they really let me do whatever I wanted.
And gave you confidence, I guess. And then
yeah, absolutely. And after, when I finished that show, I was working with DreamWorks and developing a my own show. And then SVU came along. It was actually called Sex Crimes at the time. This script came in, and again, I've had that same feeling I did when I read the ER part, where I thought, this is mine. I know it. I feel it. I love this. I want to do this. This is huge.
Well, I read that you were really aggressive in pursuing that role with Dick Wolf to send the other actresses away, something like
well,
that.
Well, what happened was I went in and I had a few readings before I actually met with him. And I went in and I met with him, and we had a great meeting. And I read it, and then he gave me a note. I remember I said, do you want to tweak it? And he goes, no, you're fine. And I said, I live in the other side of the hill. And I said, I didn't drive myself all the way out to the valley not to get tweaked. And he goes, okay. So he gave me this note. And then we read the scene again. And it was so funny because he gave me a great note. But normally, you know, I instead of him saying, like, that was good, I said to him, that was good. That was a good note. So he was like, wow, this girl's got chutzpah. So I left, and then they called me to come back before I went to the network. Usually sometimes they just want to read it with you before you have your test at the network. So I went in, and I was thinking it was just a formality. Well, there was another girl there. And I didn't understand. And so I walk into the room. I go, what's going on? I said, this is my part. Tell her to go home. Now, it turns out that the other girl, who was wonderful and she was gorgeous and extremely talented, turned out she was in the pilot as well. She was reading for the other role. But I didn't know that at the time. So anyway, the rest is history and it all worked out. But I said to him, you know I'm right for this part. Let's not even get crazy.
Right. Well, I
wonder. Send her home and let's go.
Yeah, I wonder if part of it was that you showed the kind of brass you'd want in a detective, maybe.
Well, we'll never know, but it was pretty great.
You know, I wanted to ask one other question about your mom, and this is a little serious, and if it's too personal, you don't have to answer it. But I know that you were actually in the car in the accident when your mother was killed, and were you and your brothers and were not hurt, and you were so young that I understand you have no memory of it. But I'm wondering if that accident you think affected you in some way, or the loss affected you in some way that you carry with you.
Well, of course it did. Absolutely. I think the most traumatic thing that can happen to a child is the death of a parent. And I think that obviously being in the car, I don't remember it in my mind. I can't. Thank God. I think that's my body's way of protecting itself from the horrific incident. But I think that we have, you know, muscle memory and definitely cellular memory. So, sure, I think it informs who I am as a person, and I think I will always carry that with me.
And, you know, this character that you play on SVU, you know, is the product of a terrible trauma. I mean, do you think there's some way in which you draw on that in the character?
Without a doubt, I carry that with me. I think it is the reason that I can play this character, that I understand this character, I'm grateful that I can, if I can touch somebody with that it's not all for naught.
Well, Mariska Hargitay, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Actress Mariska Hargitay from the series Law & Order SVU. The new season begins tonight on NBC.